This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
Well, it was reaching into the garbage and taking something out. That's digging.
You think to yourself, what the hell? I'll just eat some trash.
And the Bulldog.
Was this item that you pulled out of there right on top? Well, there was nothing above it.
It was not trash.
Was it in the trash?
Yes.
Then it was trash.
On WGR.
You go into the garbage to retrieve something you've dug through the garbage.
My hand might have brushed against the bag.
Well, you, my friend, have crossed the line that divides man and bum. You are now a bum.
Sports Radio 550.
Not proud. Fridays. Thursday night, let's put it this way. Thursdays are going to be tough for me. Thursday nights. Because my kids are going to school on Tuesdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. Other days are virtual days.
So those go to school days, the bus for Julius is like 10 to 7, did you say?
Yeah, if not earlier. Like 6:45, we're outside. And, you know, like... At what age were your kids when you stopped going? Well, does the bus come to your house actually?
No. So, I went from waiting at a bus stop with both of them to then driving them to a charter school that didn't have buses, and then eventually Owen just started getting rides from a network of people to his high school, and I would drive Leo to school. So if Leo were going to school, which he's not, it's all remote learning here 5 days a week with Buffalo Public Schools, I would be driving him to performing arts. So, and I'd be getting up, you know, we'd be leaving at 7:30, so it's not that much later than your start.
There's a certain point at which he and I will both, like, maybe we'll just sort of both be ready for, you know what, you can go out there by yourself.
Right.
But I want to be
it's time.
Yeah, I mean, I was out there. He's barely like the bus is arriving at the house before he's outside. I mean, I'm just sort of standing outside so the bus driver sees me. You're like, we're coming, so we're not 6:45. We're not like all set here. But I do at least, of course. I mean, this I don't want this to sound funny or anything. Like, I want to be up. If he he's 10, like if he's up and getting ready for school, I can't be asleep on the couch. So, Thursday night football, though. Like, I will always watch the Thursday night games. Now, how am I going to do that? Last night, I fell asleep in the second quarter. And that's
wow.
And that's without, like, it wasn't because of this morning. It was just, like, I don't know, it must have been for some other reason. I just got tired, and that was it.
Yep.
So, I might miss some of these Thursday night games, especially if I get, if I grow up a little bit and sort of plan for getting up on Friday. So that by 10 o'clock on Friday, I'm not ready for a nap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm living the life over here because I don't have to get up. So I am staying up later. And I bailed out. Really, it wasn't so much that I felt I was falling asleep or needed to go to bed. It was just the Browns were about to go in for the score to make it 35-23 or whatever. I'm like, well, this is done. And I know Cincinnati tacked one on after. I don't know how close they came to an onside kick or anything.
There was an onside kick, and Cleveland got it, and that was it.
Okay. But I'm making it later and later because I don't have to get up. When I would have to get up with him, I would want to then go right from him right to the gym, and, like, that's my – here's my day, you know? Like, coming home after that and not going to the gym felt like failure to me. So – Obviously, that's not on the table. I know my gym's open, but I'm still not going. And so I have no wake-up call, really. I wake up whenever I wake up. So I'm watching these games into the 11 o'clock hour now.
All right, we'll continue to chart. We'll continue to follow this developing story. You mentioned, like, you had a couple of takes on the Browns. Like, they were, starting with Mayfield, a lot better than in week one. And that really isn't that surprising. You know, that is the NFL already, and at Baltimore is a different lift than home to Cincinnati. So it looked like that. And Mayfield was very good, I thought.
Mm-hmm. He was. He had the one really bad throw that was an interception down near the Cincinnati goal line, where, you know, he didn't see the second guy in coverage there, I assume. I don't know. That's how they described it on TV. I'm not sure if that was right. But either way.
I missed that.
Mostly it was all, you know, yeah, he looked really good. And, yeah, I was disappointed in that because I was saying yesterday, I'm enjoying, like, I'm excited for this game. And I think a part of it is, you know, sure, I want to see Joe Burrow. But watching the Browns burn has been kind of fun. And so obviously I didn't get that last night. They were really good. So, you know, we'll see moving forward here, you know, what they are capable of. But Mayfield looked like someone, you know, worthy of the number one pick, I'd say, yesterday.
Winning record or no, Cleveland?
I don't think I would want to get there yet. No, I'm gonna say that's a 500 team at best.
Let's see, Cleveland 1-1. Next up, they are home to Washington, then at Dallas. That's their next two games. Indy.
Washington should. Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. You like Washington?
Washington, I don't like them, but they should get after. They should make life pretty tough for Mayfield. Like they're going to get after the passer, I think. So that'll be something to watch there, because, you know, Chase Young already and whatever they had to begin with. So the and I think they're in the opener. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So I would expect that, and I'd still be worried. The Browns have number one, you know, high picks all over the roster. But their defense got worked yesterday still, you know? I don't think they're out of the woods, but they certainly looked very potent on offense yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. They did beat they didn't cover against this Bengals team in the end. They do have a lot of winnable games. Washington, I'm just not going to read every game, but some of the ones that I mean. Washington at home, you know, Indy at home, that might be about a coin flip. At the Bengals, home to the Raiders in week 8. Home to Houston in week 10, which team do you like more? I might like Cleveland more than Houston at this point. They have Jacksonville on the schedule. They have the Giants and the Jets. They do this thing, too, like the Niners and the Bills last year, where they play the Giants and the Jets on the road in back-to-back weeks. Over Christmas? Would they stay there? If you're Cleveland, would you stay there over Christmas?
No way.
Would they make them? Don't they have to?
That might be another thing. Now, I don't know, like, if that was done with intent, the intent that they would stay there to minimize travel complications. I don't know, but I mean, it's not a long trip. You know, you can understand it with a team coming from the West Coast. Just like, you know, if the Bills were to go out, you know, and stay in California, I would understand it. If they had back-to-back games out there, which I don't know, do they this year? Do they have two games in a row that are out west? I'm trying to remember.
I don't think so. They have a few overall, but I don't think that they have two in a row.
Okay.
No, they have two sets of back-to-back road games, weeks 4 and 5, Vegas and Tennessee.
Okay.
And I don't think they would be staying away, but I don't know that. Sal would know. Weeks 15 and 16 at Denver, at New England. So that's not going to be a thing either.
Right, no. So, yeah, I don't know. If the league... If the schedule was designed with, you know, with it in mind that teams could play the Jets and Giants in back-to-back weeks and therefore minimize travel, then maybe they have to. But I don't know. I don't think you'd want to, especially at the holidays. Guys with families would want to be home with their families.
How about that? There have not been any complications yet with the virus. that you've had. This week I read there were two positive tests in the league. Last week, none. Remember the Saturday night or Sunday morning news? Like, nobody in the league, players or coaches, tested positive? Like, so far, so good. I mean, it sort of goes without saying, but just because we spent so much time on how complicated it might be, or maybe even unmanageable, we are not that. We are definitely not at that point.
No, although we do, it takes some time, right? I think once we get past like next week, if everything is still moving the way it's been moving, then I think that would feel like more proof, like more definitive proof. Because I think the period of time from contact to testing positive for the virus, I think, can vary. And it can be up to, isn't it, like 10 days to 2 weeks even, that it can take for the virus to show itself in someone who's been exposed. So if that is happening, we may not know it yet. I mean, I'm not predicting that that will happen. I'm just saying I think that that's been out there, that it hasn't been enough time yet to say, oh, wow, these teams traveling and meeting one another on the football field didn't end up having any consequences with regard to the virus. I'm not sure that you can say that definitively yet.
Have you thought about how coaches are wearing masks even after everybody has just been tested? Have you thought about that? Like, you know, you could ask, what's the point?
Yeah.
If everybody here was just tested, I think I can think of, and there might be others, but I can think of two answers. One is maybe the big answer would be perception.
Mm-hmm.
This wouldn't be the PR department's answer probably, but the look, right? We want to look like we're buttoned up, so we're wearing masks. But I think maybe the better answer is that you still can't know if, I don't know, like, is this right? Like, once you take that test, are they getting the rapid result? I think I read that the testing last weekend, when it was reported how nobody had tested positive, was from Saturday. And so on Sunday, like, you feel, well, I was tested yesterday and I'm good. But you don't know that all the way, maybe.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could, hypothetically, Sean McDermott is talking to an official during the game on Sunday, or the official's talking to him. They're sharing space. And the official has tested clean. Sean McDermott has tested clean, but there could be an exposure that didn't show up in the test. Like, I think that that's how that still works. I hope I'm not botching that. So I think you still want to take the precaution just to make sure that you're not carrying it and you just don't know it yet. Like, there's only so much security that I think can be provided by the constant testing. Like, the constant testing tells you you're not positive right now, but that doesn't mean that you haven't had some contact that just hasn't shown up yet, I think. So I think that that's a good enough reason to wear a mask, but I also agree with the perception point.
I've seen.
Like, I almost want everyone that's on TV in any kind of public setting to be wearing a mask, because I want people to be encouraged to still wear masks. There's so much anti-mask hatred out there that I still think it's important that people do it.
Like all these golfers, for instance?
Yeah, that's right.
You think all the golfers should have masks on? Should they?
I mean, if I've got baseball players running around the bases with masks on, I don't know why golfers couldn't, but...
You have a couple. You have a couple baseball players.
Yeah.
Most of them are not.
Yeah. Yeah.
This golf course, so no fans, but there are homes with backyards up against the golf course. And I saw one group of fans, like, all sitting in chairs, I guess on someone's lawn, watching the golf. I mean, I guess I'm not sure there's anything that the USGA can do about them. Their distance apart from each other, or their masks, whatever that is. But it is a tough day at the Open with regard to scoring. Patrick Reed seems to be having no problem. Less of a problem. He is at -4. On the game last night, we were talking about Mayfield and the Browns. I went through their schedule. It looks like they have a lot of winnable games there. You brought up their defense. That's a good point. Where does this leave the Bengals here at 0-2? I often think about the same team always when there's a team like this, which has just drafted its quarterback, and it looks good, but they're losing, and that's the beginning of the Kelly era.
Yep.
It's always like the team in my brain that I have room for, like the Bengals last night, is the beginning of the Kelly era. Now, many of those teams don't get good. They just, it looks like, you know, how would you feel if you were a Bengals fan? You'd be like, oh well, maybe, like, you know, there are good signs.
Yeah, I think you know me well enough to almost guess what I'm going to say. Like, I'd feel great if I were a Bengals fan, because I would be going into this year not really worrying about the results as far as wins and losses. I'd be worrying about, what does this guy look like playing quarterback? Does he look like he can do the job? And am I all set for the next 15 years? And, you know, it's 2 weeks, so it takes a while to actually confirm that, and there will probably be some valleys, I mean, I would expect. And even like last week, he was fine, but he wasn't prolific or anything. You know, this game yesterday, he was dynamite. So I'd be feeling like this is going really well. I'm going to have to do what the Bills did, and I'm going to have to build around this guy and put some pieces in place. I'm going to have to eventually replace A.J. Green. I'm going to have to decide what I'm doing with Ross. Like, is he a part of this or not? And, you know, figure some things out. The left tackle who missed all of last year graded out very favorably, I read. So that's a positive. So I'd be feeling good about the individual performances, and I wouldn't be upset about the result, because I would have gone into it with my eyes wide open, not really worrying or expecting a positive team result. Just give me the guy playing quarterback that looks like he can do the job for me, and that'll be enough to get me through the year.
Yeah, so far it looks like a normal season. The baseball season really doesn't, with how short it is, and the hockey season with the big, you know, break in the middle from the almost end of the regular season to the playoffs, you know, you could disagree with that, with these points, and think, oh, it's fine, it's regular, normal, it's, you know, whatever, credible enough. But the football season so far, on time, real games. We don't have a slew of players missing games here and there for COVID positive tests. Plenty of hamstring injuries so far.
Right.
But I'm not sure that's unusual for the NFL. 803-0550, a couple of fantasy thoughts as we continue toward 5. Sal will be with us then, and we'll have our regular hour-long roundtable focusing on Bills-Dolphins. It is M&T Bills Fan Friday on WGR. As you're thinking ahead to the weekend, or maybe even have your weekend underway, keep my friends at Outlet Liquor in mind. I've been working with them for years, and have just a lot of respect for Rich there and the job they do. Knowledgeable, big selection, and always trying to find new ways to help you save money. You know, win-win. Outlet has a Gimme 3 section with hundreds of top wine brands to choose from. Kim Crawford, Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Josh, Cupcake, and more. One bottle, the price is fine. When you buy two, you save $1 or $2 per bottle. When you buy three bottles, you save at the very least $3 per bottle, and on it goes, as much as $5 per bottle when you buy a case. Mix and match so you can try new things and make sure you get your share of your favorites. That's an everyday deal in Outlet Liquor. Fall items, including Southern Tier Pumpkin Whiskey and Bailey's Apple Pie, are both in stock at Outlet Liquor. Stock up, save money. Try new things. Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Outlet Liquor, what's your...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Or outlet.
Watching those guys on film, they're definitely aggressive. You know, they've been in the game, you know, a long time, and I know they will test us this year if, you know, we can get open. You know, they both had a lot of success in their careers, so it'll be a fun matchup to battle.
John Brown expected to play. Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds out for the Bills at the Dolphins. First road game. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio joins us in half an hour. We'll spend an hour on this game and week two. If you want to join us, it would be between now and then. 803-0550 is the number. Picks are too important to interrupt, and that's at 6. So this is the window.
Yeah. We even had to squeeze Brian in earlier because you can't have Brian infringing with his golf talk / Blue Jays updates during the pick segment.
Nobody gets on the pick segment.
We wouldn't hear of it.
No. Are you picking the Bills game?
Sure.
I should have assumed you were picking that game. That's one of your five. You don't know yet.
If you go back, no, I am. No, I am picking the Bills game. I'm picking the Bills. I'm a regular. I've become Chris Berman with the picks. I don't know. You go back and look last year. I don't know. I think I picked the Bills more often than not last year. And I did all right. Yeah, right.
It worked, and it worked last week. I would take Miami if I were to take this game.
One of my two wins. Yeah.
Well, I mean, picking the Bills worked last week is what I meant. I think I like the Dolphins in this game. Maybe not to win, but +5.5. Again, I'll just point out that the line hasn't budged since the two linebackers were ruled out. One thing you could say to that, no one is to my ears, but one thing you could say is that they might have been expected to be out. That's a point in the conversation about the line is, like, these guys haven't practiced all week, so you could make that point. Maybe Sal would or will later on. But I had New England last week against Miami, and I thought that game would get ugly. My guess on that game was that New England would blow them out. That did not happen. With under 2 minutes to go, the Dolphins were on the 10. Down by 10 points, looking at, you know, a possible cover there and, you know, making it a one-score game. There was an interception on that play, and it ended 21-11, I guess. But I guess in keeping with that, I want to be a little bit impressed with their defense.
Miami's defense, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm not quite at, like, the Bills are going to kill them. You know, I don't know when. It's going to take a while probably to get back to that sort of status, but I don't. I'm expecting a maybe a game much like last week, like a pretty comfortable win is what I'm expecting out of this game, and I think a part of that is maybe one of the reasons I don't feel that worried. About linebackers being out is, well, A, maybe I just never should, and B, it's Fitz, you know, and I know what I'm getting there. I can flip a coin, I could get a Fitz who throws all over me and you know, makes me regret every word I'm saying right now, or I could get Fitz who throws it to me a few times like he did last week against New England. So yeah, I don't know. I think the Bills and the Patriots are clearly better than the Dolphins and the Jets. I think that showed last week. Even though the Dolphin game was a more competitive game with New England, I would say, than the Bills game was with the Jets. I think the Bills are, I trust that they're a better team across the board and that they'll win by a touchdown. Like, that's how I feel about the game sitting here right now.
Have you thought about that with the way that the line works? If the game were in Buffalo, the Bills would be favored by 11.5. That'd be pretty massive.
It's not
sort of one.
That's a pretty weighty line.
Yeah, 11.5. It's one reason why I think I like the Dolphins with the points here. News from the 49ers, George Kittle out. Another high pick in your fantasy draft, injured already. Michael Thomas, we'll see. There's still some chance he plays, but maybe not. Godwin, we've talked about. He also could play this week, but maybe not. Miles Sanders was a first-round pick in many drafts, missed week one, back this week. Galladay, that's round three in a lot of drafts, but out both games. Connor missed most of the opener for the Steelers, expected back this week. Le'Veon Bell, I was in my last draft of the preseason was a draft where Bell went in round two. That didn't happen a lot, but he's out, of course. And I'm just getting started. I mean, that's Marlon Mack was not a high pick. I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor on this draft board, and Taylor is primed to really crush now with Mack out. But Kittle. So what's that? Is that Jordan Reed now for San Francisco?
Yes. He's their backup.
And Ayuk is back, isn't he? Wide receiver, the rookie?
I haven't seen whether he is or not. I saw he didn't practice earlier in the week and then maybe was limited since.
I think he's back.
Well, that could be tough for them. I mean, the 49ers, like, how did they do what they did last year? It was, I mean, Kittle is a huge weapon in their passing game, obviously, but they run the ball with just this variety of guys, and one of whom I know has departed and is now in Miami in Breida, but they run it, and the Jets are good at that. The Jets are good. They play, they're at the Jets, the 49ers are, and they're good at stopping the run. That's why the Bills threw it like they did. So not having Kittle could be pretty impactful for them.
I was already planning on taking the Jets, and I still will if I can keep the number. We'll see if that line moves, right? That's what we're talking about a lot today.
Yeah, right. But, right, I was planning on taking the 49ers, and now I'm sort of looking at the board again to see if I can find a game I like more, because I think that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, I am that mad right now to take the Dolphins and the Jets in the picks. That is very, very aggressive.
Well, you know, you did go 4-1, so.
I know, I'm just feeling all cocky here.
I just picked up Jerick McKinnon in a fantasy league. Like, pass catchers, like, he got five targets last week. He played, I think, every third down for them at running back, or maybe just played every third down. So he was out there and getting the ball, and it was his first game in 3 years.
Will you start him, though?
No. He would be a guy I'd add on a bench, see if he continues in that role, and then maybe I could get to him at some point.
I have a tough time with those guys. I even had a tough time this week with Nyheim Hines. Who had, did he have two touchdowns in week one
two
for Indy?
Two touchdowns, yeah.
And you had
a
the
lot
Mac
of targets,
injury.
Though, too.
I know. I have a tough time with
the pass catcher?
Utility running back. Yes. Tariq Cohen, McKinnon would be this. Chris Thompson has been this.
James White,
yeah. Yes. Like, I have a tough time with these guys because I never want to start them. You have to get lucky in a few ways with these guys. The game script has to be right. They have to be losing to get, like, real value, real production out of them. You know, not in every case.
But to me, the flip side of that is there are running backs in the league, like, Jordan Howard is the first name that came to mind, that maybe he's not the best example, that are between the tackles, you know, like, they're first and second down type running backs who a lot of times are drafted in and around the same spots. And I would say they're game script reliant as well, but just on the flip side, that they have to be winning. Maybe Derrick Henry is like the extreme example of that, but I usually get around to having those guys on my team, those pass catchers, because it does seem like nobody ever wants them.
Yeah, well, that's probably right. There's a group of people that feel the way I do, which is like, just what am I going to do with this guy? When am I going to start Tariq Cohen? Like, over who? If I'm in rough shape, then you do it, but it's a desperation move, and you're in trouble already. But you got to start somebody. Henry and Elliott, those guys that get that kind of volume, though, you got to love it. Because it doesn't even matter what the score is with those guys. They just get the ball. So, all right, no George Kittle for the Niners at the Jets. I don't know. The Niners lost Arizona, Bulldog, but maybe we're just closer to the Jets than being here last week. I just think, like, it looks as bad as it can look. So, 7, like...
That's a pick you love, right?
That's my kind of... It's not full buster because the Niners lost too, but... You know, when everybody seems to think one thing about a team, and you're talking about a betting line that would account for that, well, I'll take a shot at that team. I'll take a shot with the Jets here. No Crowder, by the way, for them.
Right.
All right, we've got Rachel's fresh picks coming up next. A couple more like fantasy ideas and week 2 picks type ideas. In the next few minutes, I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's too. Grilled chicken and steak done perfectly, differently. That seasoning is so special and nice. The smell overcomes you when you walk in. They also have salmon on the menu now at Rachel's. Great with the dill sauce, natural fit there. Rachel's rice, fresh cut vegetables, cheeses. Build your bowl or whatever you want to make, the pita, any way you want it. So many ways to go at Rachel's, and they're all good ways. Many toppings as you like, too. Lunch, dinner. You know, there are times when you sort of have to eat out. You can choose Rachel's for those times and feel great about it. It's just going to be a good feeling, healthy and delicious. Rachel's now 10 locations open on Niagara Falls Boulevard near us, near Maple Road here in Amherst, 7 in Buffalo, 2 in Rochester. As well. And you can order delivery from Rachel's through DoorDash. Also, they're great for catering purposes. If you have a party coming up, order online at rachelsgrill.com. Rachel's second annual Roundup is back. Rachel's Roundup. All this month, when you eat at Rachel's, round up your check. All proceeds from Rachel's Roundup benefit Oshai Children's Hospital. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's too. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, official partner of the Bills and Sabres.
They're two really good receivers, two big, big body receivers who make a lot of good contested catches. So it's our job on the outside to play as best as we can and execute, you know, winning the 50-50 balls. That's what it's going to come down to. It's not just the matchup with me and Tre'Davious versus them two. It's everyone with the run. They got Gesicki as a tight end. You know, he's a big physical threat as well. So everyone has to do the 111th, and we should have good success.
Levi Wallace there and the Bills.
Devontae, again, with Today at the Gym in the background. Today at the Gym. Yes. Interviews. What's going on there?
You know, all is fair this year. The Dolphins have Devontae Parker, who had a killer second half last year, and then including a game against the Bills in Miami. And Preston Williams, who was nice. He had an ACL injury last year, but is back. Parker is a game-time decision, according to the Dolphins, and could be a difference maker, but I don't know. Does Devontae Parker move the line? Does any one person in this game move the line? If it's 11 o'clock Sunday morning and it looks like it's going to rain, that moves the line, probably, one way or the other. But I don't know. We've had this conversation.
In whose favor? Who gets the line movement if it's raining?
I don't know. Like, probably the Bills. Well, I don't want to say probably. Maybe the Bills. My first instinct is running teams. Are the Bills a running team? Okay. Like, the quarterback is a good runner. The Bills didn't run the ball otherwise last week effectively at all. And Miami, Myles Gaskin, I guess. I don't know. I do like Breida, but they haven't exactly proven anything there yet either. So, good question. Rachel's fresh picks. Here are a couple of thoughts with week 2 in mind. One guy, it's not a shot at Joe, because I wouldn't want to do that. But I will take some liberties here because I am down to Joe in our week two Shopes and Dreams matchup 70-5 after last night. I hate that five, by the way. AJ Green.
Right. You couldn't even give you something.
Too many Bengals.
Three catches on 13 targets.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't help but think he looks old. But I don't know if that was it. They were just off a little bit every time, it seemed, those two guys. Burrow, otherwise, a prolific night.
Man, yeah. I mean, what did he have? Like, he threw 60 passes. Did he have, like, 20 incompletions? Half of them were to A.J. Green?
He had 24 incompletions, yeah.
Yeah, damn. Wow.
Everybody else got off. So, Paris Campbell. Joe traded me Paris Campbell last year. He's a guy who's all over my lineups this week. Because, he was hurt a lot last year. The door is open in Indianapolis for Campbell, second-year wide receiver. He may have passed T.Y. Hilton. We don't know yet. Like, it could be this. Fantasy guys, very excited about Campbell. They have Minnesota this week. And, I mean, Minnesota just got lit up by Green Bay. New secondary. So, Campbell is one guy for me this week. I have a lot of him.
I'm a Hilton owner, and I am paying attention to you.
Okay. I mean, Hilton is probably still playable.
No, I know. I just, you know, he didn't do anything last week, and I felt like that bears watching. New quarterback, so it might line up. Like, that might be a part of the thinking that the changing of the guard could be happening at receiver as far as, like, top guy in Indy because it's a different quarterback, and he might just have different – you know, whatever, different preferences.
Very interesting team. Hines there in the passing game. Michael Pittman isn't quite healthy. I'm not sure he's out or anything, but he's not 100%. Campbell's a guy I like. I want to talk about Ronald Jones for a minute, too. What's your thought on him at this point with Fournette there? Did you watch him for Tampa against New Orleans?
Really, I loved how he ran.
Me too.
I don't think Fournette's that good. So, but that doesn't mean they won't hand him the ball and try to get him off. But I thought Jones looked as lopsided as that game really ended up getting. I thought Jones looked much the better back of the two in that game last week at New Orleans.
So we still have to see if we all agree on that. We still have to see what does Tampa want to do about this because they did just sign Fournette, and I would think that they're not planning on having him just be like a few carries a week to fill in, but that's what it was in week one. I still think what I want to do here is buy on Ronald Jones because he did look good. Mm-hmm. It still has a good or very good chance of being a high-end offense. And if he produces, why would they want to take him out? You know, at the same time as the point about not trading for Fournette, but signing Fournette. You know, you want to go with the guy who's producing for you, and that would be Jones. And so he's a guy for me that I want to trust. It's risky. His whole career, it's been tricky, risky to trust Ronald Jones, but I still want to do it. And not so much a pick, but just a quick thought on the Seahawks. Carson for the Seahawks, a guy I had a lot of. I wrote about him over the summer that he was somebody I was drafting a lot. He had 6 carries last week. He had 2 touchdown receptions, which gave him kind of a blow-up week. But they did not hand him the ball. And you wonder about the Seahawks, is there a sea change, no pun intended, in there? Because they have been such a run-first team, which drives a lot of us crazy because of how good we think Wilson is. And last week, they threw the 31 for 35. I mean, there is a quarterback. So,
watch Russ Cook.
Yeah, let Russ cook. So what happens now? They have New England Sunday night. Will they give Carson more of the load, or will it be another, you know, fireworks game?
I'll squeeze one other little thing in here, and it's more like you just made an observation. I don't know if you saw this. I know we haven't brought it up during our show. I did see some quotes from Kansas City. I'm not sure if it was the coordinator. It wasn't Reed, but I think it was a coach about Edwards-Helaire and the goal line. Like, we talked about it, I think, last Friday with Sigmund Bloom and maybe even Evan Abrams about how he got so many goal line chances but didn't really do anything. And whoever I read these quotes from, again, I think it might have been the coordinator, maybe it was the running backs coach, sort of blamed, like, he's got to follow the blocks. Like, we go through it, and there were opportunities where he could have done more and maybe even scored, and he went the wrong way. And so, that's not we're taking him out and playing someone else at the goal line. And if you drafted him, you drafted him pretty high, and I don't think you'd be in a position to want to take him out anyway, even with the goal line struggles. He went off in week one anyways, but it's maybe something to keep an eye on. He might have to show that he deserves those carries at the goal line.
Interesting. Darrell Williams would be the backup there, or at least was in week one. Sal Capaccio joins us for our weekly Friday roundtable next. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.